Ryan Dixon and Rory Boylan host Tape to Tape, the hockey podcast by Sportsnet.
Well, I think it's when this is over, it's going to be up there with the Olympics for sure. And I think playing in Toronto is a key to that, because it's played in Canada, it's played in one city, and you're not traveling around to different cities like we did in 04. So I think it's going to be up there with the Olympics, absolutely.
Welcome to Tape, T2T. I'm Ryan Dixon. I am a writer for Sportsnet magazine and Sportsnet.ca. Sitting to my left, he is shining up his personal collection of Maple Leafs. It is NHL senior producer for Sportsnet.ca, Rory Boylan.
We have hockey. We have great hockey.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to just come out of the box like this.
How about those Canada-US games? Did you think they were going to get that out of control right off the bat? I mean, US is built to do that, but holy cow, some of those hits were mid-season collisions.
Yeah, I didn't think we were going to come in that hot, that's for sure. This is Tape to Tape. You can subscribe to this podcast, of course, at sportsnet.ca and on iTunes. You can follow Rory on Twitter at Rory Boylan, myself, Dixon on Sports. We're going to dive much deeper into the teams involved in those games Rory referenced. Team Canada, Sportsnet's Chris Johnson is on the scene, has been since day one of training camp. He'll give us his take on what's happening with the red and white. As for the red, white, and blue, Luke Fox, also of Sportsnet.ca, he was at camp in Columbus. He'll be following the U.S. throughout the tournament, giving us the inside scoop there. We're going to talk about the team that combines those two countries off the top, though, Team North America. I mean, I think when this World Cup was announced, even before a single player was named to a roster, the team everyone was talking about was Team North America. A little bit of controversy because, of course, we're used to these tournaments featuring exclusively nations, not combined nations. What were your thoughts initially on Team North America, and where are you now?
Well, initially, I was looking forward to watching them play because there's a lot of entertaining players on this team. I was never really against this idea. I was always kind of open to it because I would rather see, first of all, I would rather see a Team North America than a Team Switzerland.
Really?
Yeah, for sure I would.
Even though, at this point, there's not eight teams that can win this tournament, but there's eight teams that can be competitive.
Yes. Well, my qualifier has always been that I don't mind this setup at all, and I'm looking forward to it as long as they keep the Olympics so that you'll always have that more traditional international best on best.
So if the Olympics go away, then you want Slovakia, Switzerland.
I would sour
next
on this format a little bit then. But for these purposes, I'm really looking forward to this team, and especially now that they were coming in, what is this team going to be? Are they going to be too inexperienced? What does that mean? Are they not going to have enough defense? They're surely going to have enough speed and offense, it looks like. Are they going to have defense? Is the goaltending going to be good enough? Matt Murray had a great playoff, obviously, en route to the Stanley Cup, but he doesn't really have much of a track record beyond that. But you look at the two games they played against Team Europe, and I know Team Europe's not going to be, I mean, they're a long shot to win this tournament on their own, but they embarrassed them. They took it to them. They skated circles around them. They looked clearly like the better team. And I know it was the pre-tournament, so we know once we get into the tournament, you can't look too much into that. But I can't imagine another team in this tournament, whether it's Canada, Sweden, U.S., whoever, I can't imagine another team in this tournament looking better and dominating the Europeans more than Team North America did. They put out about as good of an effort as you could have expected from any team against another team in this tournament.
You're just excited because there's two Panthers on there.
Well, yeah, there are. There was a photo of, who was it? There were a couple of guys on the Team North America flight, and in the background there's Aaron Ekblad, fully bearded, and the guys in front look all like kids. Yeah. Aaron Ekblad looks like a 35-year-old vet sitting in the back.
Yes, he has for about 5 years now. I guess speed is the real draw with this team, right? I mean, that's what's going to convert anyone, is when you watch it, they just move so quickly.
Yeah, this is the future of the game, right? And it's nice to see just the speed. I mean, look at this team. Jack Eichel, Nathan MacKinnon, Dylan Larkin set the fastest skater record at the All-Star game just last year. So you do have speed up and down this lineup. And I haven't even talked about Connor McDavid yet, who's number one center, captain, best player on this team, up front, at least hands down. And Toronto Maple Leafs fans, you get to have that first look at Austin Matthews in his brand new home arena before the NHL season gets going. So, you know, it's exciting to watch this team for what it is in this tournament and how they're going to do against the other teams. But it's also exciting because you get a look at all these guys playing together. When are we ever going to see, never, Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel play together again? These combos that you're never going to see.
Drew Am back with Nathan MacKinnon.
Like, that's amazing. Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. And especially the U.S. Canadian duos who are never going to play internationally again. And you get a look at them young. You get a look at the future of the international. You get a look at them ahead of the NHL schedule. They're the most interesting team ahead of the tournament for a number of reasons.
But is Johnny Gaudreau spitting nails when it's time to beat Team USA, you know? Like, is Brandon Saad, like, I'm going to...
Yeah, well, yes and no. I mean, they want to beat them. There's going to be that pride naturally. But no one's going to look at this team, I don't think, and expect them to play an in-your-face gritty game like we got out of Canada-US. They're not built for that. They're not... I mean, who in this lineup
mentally are they geared up for, though? You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
Even when they're going against their own country, you think they're firing out of the blocks, hoping to destroy the hopes of Team Canada or Team USA?
Oh, for sure. Wouldn't you want to beat these guys? Like, stupid analogy here, but when you were a kid growing up and you were on the minor peewee team or something like that, or you were on the house league team, didn't you want to beat the team who was just a little bit above you? Maybe you were the minor peewee rep team and you wanted to beat a house league major peewee team or something like that. You want to beat your elders. You want to show the older guys that you can hang with them. And what kind of story would it be if Team North America knocked out Canada, say,
sure.
You know, or even the
and
United States?
And that's not out of, in a one-game situation, that is not...
Not out of the question.
Out of the question.
No, not at all. I mean, this team, for all the questions it has on defense, I mean, it can sting you on offense without a moment's notice. Before you know it, they could put up two or three goals, and that's... I mean, there's so much to like about this. I can't imagine them not being... right in it against Canada or U.S. that just because they're competitors, they're pros, that I think they would want to go in wanting to beat these teams, not so much. I am curious if you play the U.S. and Ryan Kesler takes a run at Jack Eichel or something like that, like how do you respond in that situation? I imagine you would have to, but
Ekblad.
But it's not...
Get the guy who looks old, at
least. Yeah, but there's nobody here that really is going to... You look at the Canadians and you can pick out a few guys who are going to get in your face. Like, Shea Weber looked like he was going to kill Ryan Kesler in that exhibition game. But who on this team is going to be that guy? Ekblad, I guess. Maybe Seth Jones. But there's nothing like that that really stands out to me.
Well, hands down, the team that has the most intrigue around it heading into the tournament, that is North America. We're going to talk about the country that lives upstairs in North America. Coming up first, we're going to have Chris Johnson on the line chatting about Team Canada and what he expects from them at this tournament. The defending World Cup champions, if you go back, well, what are we now, 12 years to 2004, Canada trying to defend that World Cup title. Can they do it? We're going to talk to Chris Johnson next on Tape to Tape.
Sam Gold creeps out to the middle. One-timer, Tavares. Oh, score! Again, it's Sagan trying to force his way in. Drops up. Scores! What a play! Sagan, Duchesne, back of the net. Dave's all the way in. Centers it up. There's a shot. Rebound! Scores! Johnny T.
Welcome back to Tape to Tape. Joining us on the line now, live from Pittsburgh, it is Sportsnet.ca insider Chris Johnson. Chris, how's it going?
It is going very well. Always nice to be back in Pittsburgh. It doesn't feel like it was that long since me and the Stanley Cup were here.
Yeah, a little bit of an underrated town for those who have never visited. Definitely a top-rate sports town. And, yeah, lots of NHL action there, lots of World Cup action. Chris, you've been following Team Canada very closely since the start of camp and certainly through the first two exhibition games with the United States. What did you make of those games? I mean, here's this tournament. It just kind of comes out of nowhere in September, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, there's playoff-like intensity right off the hop. Did you expect that?
Well, the fact that it was so on and that the emotions are running as high as they were, particularly in the first pre-tournament game, I don't think anyone could have expected that. Frankly, I don't think the players themselves were quite sure it would be like that. But, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of guys on both sides of those two teams that have been involved in, you know, some pretty epic Canada-U.S. games at the Olympics the last two times that the NHLers have been at the games there. And you know, the rivalry is real. And it was also an opportunity with the teams meeting again in the preliminary round to kind of establish a sort of tone or to try to get in the opponent's head. And I think all that kind of conspired to it. And, you know, really what it showed to me more than anything is that, you know, the players are taking this seriously. You know, this is, you know, something that they want to be involved in. And, you know, a lot of the guys seem to quite enjoy playing hockey at that level at this time of year.
CJ, every time Canada puts a lineup together, you're wondering who's going to play with Sidney Crosby. And there's this idea that he's a hard player to play with. I don't know if I really buy into that. But here we're seeing this line of Marchand, Crosby, and Bergeron just clicking, and they look like they're going to be something extremely special. I guess, do you believe in the idea that Crosby is hard to play with? And then a second follow-up question, what makes this line so click so well?
Well, Sidney has been at times hard to play with. I think mostly it's that he demands too much from himself and then by extension his line mates. And you know, I think when players haven't been used to that, it can be a bit of intimidating. I mean, in some cases, it's just purely down to the fact they have trouble keeping up with him, and obviously he sees the game at a level arguably no one else in hockey, maybe other than Connor McDavid now, just the way he can envision and key plays coming together and create them can do. So, I mean, that does come with some limitations, but this line has the benefit of, you know, being a built-in comfort zone for Sidney with Patrice Bergeron and him having played together all the way back in the 2005 World Junior Tournament when they had all kinds of success. They ended up in period together with Team Canada in the 2006 World, the 2010 Olympics, 2014 Olympics. So they know what they're getting into. And, you know, I think the most interesting member of the line probably is Brad Marchand, who, mm-hmm. you know, wouldn't have entered, you know, if we were having this discussion a year ago about, you know, the World Cup a year out, whether he would even be part of Team Canada. I don't think most people would have thought that, and let alone the fact he scored 37 goals last year and is actually the leading goal scorer among the Canadian players that are here playing at this event. And he does fit in nicely. I think he's a pretty simple, straightforward player. And in this case, with a player like Crosby, there seems to be that match. So they clicked right away, as you mentioned. They were actually the first line when Mike Babcock sat down in the summer to start sort of penciling in what the lineup looked. That was the line he put on paper. And it's so far been the line that stuck as we enter the tournament.
Chris, Ryan O'Reilly, the late add to Team Canada, filling in for the injured Tyler Seguin. How does he fit in? Mike Babcock has said they need help on the penalty kill. Does the ultra-diverse O'Reilly have a chance to play a big role, do you think?
I think there's an opportunity for him to carve it out, in part because, you know, there's some other sort of lingering injury issues here that, you know, leave the lineup a little bit uncertain, even though we're only 2 days from when they actually have to finalize the 23 players they're going to carry into the tournament. But you're right, his versatility as someone who's comfortable at the center and on the wing. I think the fact that he played for Canada the last two World Hockey Championships and was part of gold medal winning teams there, he actually formed a pretty successful line that included Claude Giroux 2 years ago in Prague. And Giroux is here with this Team Canada again. And it looks like, you know, he's likely to be sort of paired off the way Mike Babcock likes to keep two players on every line as sort of a pair. So all of that sort of played into this. And, you know, it's pretty amazing when you think about it, because Team Canada also lost prior to the tournament Jeff Carter, Jamie Benn, and now Tyler Seguin. I mean, we're essentially looking at, you know, a fifth line of players, you know, from where Canada's at, and of, you know, such an elite group of players to choose from like Ryan O'Reilly.
usually a crazy question to ask about Carey Price, but coming back from an injury and with the guys behind him in the lineup that Canada has, how short is the leash on Price, and who do you think is the number two goalie they would turn to?
It appears that it's Corey Crawford, you know, somewhat surprisingly. I guess with Braden Holtby having won the Vezina Trophy last year and you know, just had such a spectacular season for the Washington Capitals, you know, he entered as, you know, I think the presumed number two behind Price, but, you know, it does seem that Crawford may now occupy that role. Although, you know, I do think ultimately it's going to be a moot point. And you know, there's uncertainty with Carey because he hasn't played a lot since, you know, that knee injury really devastated his entire season last year. But, you know, I think this version of Team Canada only needs capable goaltending. And, you know, Carey Price, even if he's not quite feeling as comfortable as he did, for example, when in the middle of the season he went to Sochi and was, you know, really a rock for Team Canada, I think that he'll be able to provide them what they need. So, you know, he don't know have the exact view of what the plan will be, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him run right to the tournament and play all of the games. But, you know, they do have a back-to-back during the preliminary round, so there's a chance we'll see someone else, and you know, it might actually be Corey Crawford, the guy who's won a couple Stanley Cups for the Chicago Blackhawks, getting the nod over Braden Holtby when that comes.
What's your prediction for Team Canada? Do you think they're going to win it?
Man, I try to invent scenarios in my mind where they lose. I mean, you know, everything's possible. I mean, there can be a Martin Gerber game like happened at the Turin Olympics, right, when, you know, the Swiss goalie made 50 saves and, you know, they Canada lost 2-1 and, you know, a game that Swiss stole. I mean, that is always possible. And the semifinals of this tournament is a one-and-done scenario, but that's the only one Team Canada faces. Unlike, you know, other international tournaments, there's no quarterfinal, and the final itself is the best 2 out of 3. And, you know, I think given that sort of tournament setup, it's really stacked in the favor of Team Canada. I mean, even at Sochi, you know, we remember the game against Latvia where Kristaps Gudlevskis, who, you know, before that had never been a name really on anybody's radar, I don't think in North America except your hardcore prospect guys. And, you know, he nearly stole a game that, you know, would have been remembered probably even more so than the way the Swiss won from 2006 was. But, you know, because there's only one situation where that can happen for Team Canada, I really do like their odds. There's some question marks. I mean, the blue line, I don't believe is as strong as the one they took to Sochi. You know, they're getting into some injury troubles up front, as I did mention earlier. But, you know, even with that, when you look at the lineup they put on paper, it's definitely the best one. And it's a whole bunch of guys that have done nothing but win wearing the Maple Leaf on their chest, whether it's John and Taves, Shea Weber, obviously Sidney Crosby. There's just all kinds of gold medals and these guys as trophy cases. And, you know, I do expect they're going to be hoisting the trophy when it's finally handed out.
Finally, if there is another team out there, like, which other team do you think is the one that is going to give Canada the biggest test? Is it the U.S. who keeps talking about how they're built to beat Canada? Is it the North Americans who are kind of a wild card, fast teams? Is it somebody else? What's the team that is going to give Canada the biggest run for its money?
I kind of have Sweden handicapped as the number two team in this tournament. And, you know, obviously they did make it to the final in Sochi before losing to Canada at the Olympics. But, you know, they have a blue line that is far none the best in the tournament, just full of stud defensemen, guys that can move the puck, that can control the game. And I could see a scenario where they give Canada trouble. And obviously they have Henrik Lundqvist, yeah, who's, you know, been one of the best goalies of his era. So, you know, that's the team to me that if anyone is going to give them trouble, I think that could be it. And you know, the way it lines up, they're not likely to face each other before the final of the tournament, although it is possible they can get each other in a semi. But, you know, I would say if I were doing a power ranking, the Swedes fall number two on my list.
Well, as always, an entire nation will be following Canada. Chris Johnson will be there every step of the way. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I think it's going to be an awesome event.
So do we. That is Chris Johnson of Sportsnet.ca. Coming up next on Tape to Tape, we'll flip to the other North American country. Because really, there's a Team North America, but no other North American country besides Canada. And Team USA, we're going to get some thoughts from Sportsnet's Luke Fox on how the red, white, and blue look next up on Tape to Tape.
I thought we made strides with our identity against Canada, but we have some work to do before we start the real stuff.
Sparks fly on East Street when the boy prophets walk it handsome and
hot. Top of the point now for Suter. Tried to get it to score!
The souls go weak when the man child gives them a double shot.
Down low.
Yes, the boy pops.
I still remember the 96 World Cup and what that meant to USA Hockey. And for us, it's a big deal. It ranks right up there with the Olympics. And, you know, it's a special feeling to be able to put on that USA jersey. Down fire trails on silver nights with blonde girl played sweet 16. Newsboys say the heat's been bad since bar 13. Gave a trooper all a head in a summer scuffle.
Welcome back to Tape to Tape. Joining us on the line now to talk some Stars and Stripes, it is Sportsnet.ca's Luke Fox. Luke, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Luke, you were at Team USA's training camp in Columbus. I mean, we're going to set the national anthem stuff aside because I think we've all had enough of that conversation. But what impact do you feel John Tortorella has on the team? And we've already seen some comments about Max Pacioretty. I mean, no matter what goes on with Tortorella, the one thing you can count on is he seemed to get the same guy. He, you know, I don't know how much he's changed, at least from looking at it from a distance over the years. What impact do you think he has on this team in this short tournament?
I think his impact would be hard to be overstated. This is John Tortorella's team, and it started from the makeup of the team. I spoke with Dean Lombardi, and he said, you know, we wanted a certain identity here. We wanted a certain way we wanted to play, and that started with picking our coach. So they picked John Tortorella, who at the time wasn't employed and had tons of free time, which is kind of interesting, too. Did they purposely take him because he wasn't going to be busy with an NHL team, or so they thought, and would have lots of time to prepare. Because the U.S., some people think this is just a silly exhibition tournament, or it's only for marketing, which it is. But these guys are taking it seriously as Canada, or maybe even more seriously. Like, they really want to win, and they were really disappointed by finishing outside of the medals in Sochi. So they thought, how do we beat Canada? We can't match them skill for skill. Like, if you were look on paper, there's no way, even if you put Kessel and Okpozo and Tyler Johnson on that team, they still come up short if you're going firepower for firepower. So they said, let's build a rough team, a rugged team, a grinding team, with some skill on the top end, but a team that's going to be tough to play against. And who better to coach that team than John Tortorella? So Tortorella was very much involved in picking the roster in conjunction with Brian Burke and Paul Holmgren and Lombardi. So his voice was there right from the beginning. And then it just so happens, it's just coincidence, because they had already planned to have the training camp in Columbus, but that's where he's staying anyway, where he would be for the Blue Jackets. So so he was very comfortable all through training camp because that's his town. So he ran it, the camp, completely his way. It was all business, no nonsense. First day, he's just blurting out commands. Guys are going. The pace was high right from the beginning. From roster on down to tactical decisions, line makeups, who he has starting, who he has sitting. This is all Tort.
So here comes this U.S. team, and like you mentioned, they've built this team to just be tough to play against, left off some noteworthy players like Phil Kessel and Tyler Johnson. And now Torts' impact on this team. Here, look at the goalies, and they're stacked. They're stacked in net with Ben Bishop, Jonathan Quick, and Corey Schneider. And I think most people would pick either Corey Schneider or maybe Ben Bishop to be the number one. But it sure looks like Tortorella is going to be going. Well, I think he's made it official that Tortorella is going to go with Jonathan Quick as the number one when this tournament gets going. What do you make of that decision? I get it from the standpoint that Quick is a big game performer, a big moment performer, but boy, Corey Schneider and Ben Bishop seem to have the better long-term numbers. What do you make of that choice?
Well, they all looked fantastic in training camp. They all looked ready to go. But there was a sense among the media members and just a sense overall. Tortorella said it was an open competition right from the beginning. Personally, I wasn't buying it completely. I think the fact that Jonathan Quick does have the two Stanley Cup rings, that he was the man in Sochi, and although they didn't perform well at the end, he was excellent in Sochi. So I do kind of think it was his job to lose. He was given the first pre-tournament game start and stood on his head. That he's would say reason number one that they beat Canada. They were, you know, severely outshot, outplayed overall. And the fact that he had Bishop coming in for the third period in game one and game two and had him on the bench in game three, it indicated, okay, here you go, Ben Bishop. Get used to coming in on as a backup role. Schneider got the one start, and Tortorella promised he'd give them all some ice time, and he did. But there was also a sense of, you know, I think Quick would be most disappointed if he didn't get it. There, you know, Schneider was kind of, not that he's not competitive or not deserving of the job or wanted the job, but there was a sense of happy to be there. He hasn't played for his national team since 07. He went and got the fancy new pads with the stars and stripes. He had a smile on his face the whole time. Quick seemed to be all business. And there were some, you know, there was just like a sense of Quick would make some saves in practice where the shooters were just like shaking their heads. So you can look at numbers all you want, but that leaves an impact on the players and on management. And one of the things he said is he wanted to pick a goalie that the players had confidence in. And you wonder if because of his big game reputation, that Quick has more confidence from the players, even though he might not technically be a better goalie. But the beautiful thing here is, if Quick does falter, I think the U.S. is in better situation than anyone else. I mean, Canada's in good shape, too. But, I mean, you go with any one of the other two, and they're fine. Ben Bishop looked great. I mean, he didn't finish the playoffs, and he looks fantastic. So there's, like, a lot of reason for optimism in net. And the thing with the U.S. is they're going to need it because they didn't outshoot Finland. They didn't outshoot Canada in either of those games. So they're not going to win the shooting battle. They're not going to outcourse you. So they're going to need that excellent goaltending. And the good news is that they have it. Even if Quick stumbles, they can turn to a Bishop or a Schneider, and I think they'll be fine.
Great depth in goal for Team USA. Not so much up the middle. Joe Pavelski, usually a winger in the NHL lately, anyways. He plays both positions, but he's moved into the middle. But, you know, you're talking about the Derek Stepans, Brandon Dubinskys of the world. Certainly not the same as Malkin Datsyuk or Crosby Taves. Do you think being a little thin up the middle is something that might bite the USA?
Well, I think what's going to bite them is not scoring enough. And if they don't score enough, then you can point to the centers and you can point to management and say, well, why did you leave off these other scorers? They're not as fast up the middle. Right now they have Pavelski as their number one for sure, and he's the most dynamic center that they have. Stepan has actually played really well. He scored, I think he has three goals already in the pre-tournament games. He's looked pretty sharp. And then you got Kessler and Backes, who aren't there to score, really. You know, they're there to shut down. Kessler's excellent at killing penalties. He's a beast in the face-off circle. He's not afraid to throw a borderline hit here and there, right? So that's where they were brought in. But they're slower. So that's going to be the stumbling block is speed. Like, are they fast enough? So they're not looking to win the 5-4 game. They're looking to win the 3-2 and the 2-1 game. And if it gets into a shootout, then, yeah, you can point to roster selection. You can point to depth at center. You can point to depth at the wing. You know, they got Justin Abdelkader. You know, you mentioned Dubinsky. He won't be. It doesn't look like he will be playing center. It looks like they'll try him on the wing. But again, they stocked up on those rugged guys, rugged forwards, and it's all about the forecheck for them.
probably since at least 2004, the last time there was a World Cup, the Olympics have been the major international event. Now that the World Cup is back, it in a way, it's a little manufactured with the Team North America, Team Europe. It's not... Definitely had some conversations with people wondering, like, how much does this tournament actually really mean to the players versus the Olympics? But now you look and you wonder if NHLers are going to have a future in the Olympics at all. And we've definitely, I mean, you wrote about it a few times, how important it is for this American team to beat the Canadians at this event. They're built to do it. They're built to grind them. They're built to be tough to play against. Is this, with the Olympics up in the air, are the Americans kind of looking at this as this is a chance for this generation of American stars to really leave their mark on the international stage? Because the last major win they had was the only major win, technically.
Best on best.
Technically, best on best. That's true. So this is their chance. I mean, they're being inspired. Tortorella is showing them video of that World Cup win. It's supposed to be a big inspiration for them. Do you get the feeling that they're really, like, this is their, perhaps, last chance to really leave a huge mark on the international stage?
Yeah, no, I get that sense for sure. I think it's really cool to kind of pull, like, an emotional cord on these guys. The fact that Tortorella and management sent each one of them a USB key with the third game from the Canada-U.S. series in 96, the one the U.S. rallied to come back to win. And it was very dramatic, and it was also very ugly. Like, there were a lot of penalties and rough stuff and skirmishes after every whistle. And so it's telling that they sent them each player that game and instructed them to watch it. I didn't ask every single one, but every single one I did ask watched it and was moved by it, and it got the blood boiling. So there was a lot of talk about, we want to, you know, be to this generation what, you know, Chelios and Leach and these greats of, you know, a couple decades ago were to theirs. And Patrick Kane said something interesting. He's like, you know, we would probably have a better team if it, you know, we talk about Canada not having McDavid, but he's like, you know, we don't have Goudreau, we don't have Brandon Saad, we don't have some Jack Eichel, we don't have these guys. And he's like, you know, we want to prove that this collection, this era of guys, you know, a lot of them are in their late 20s, and this is the last crack at it, right? Like, the core of this team, Backes and Kane and Pavelski, these guys aren't super young. Like, you wait another 2 years, another 4 years, they might not be in the prime anymore. So they do feel it's like their last shot to really make a mark. And Tortorella has gone to great lengths to pull on kind of any patriotism they might have. He had a representative from the army come in and speak, and the guy apparently said, you know, that is talking about the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs and how he was overseas at war, and all he could think about was his favorite team was in the final. Tortorella wouldn't say what year or what team, but he said, you know, his favorite team was in the final, and what got him through was, like, I got to get back to see my team with a chance to win the Stanley Cup. And it moved those guys. Like, there's a much larger patriotic element with this team than certainly some of the others, you know. Well, definitely the teams that are of mixed countries, but I think more so than anything, they're trying to drill home that this might be your last chance. We haven't done this in two decades. Here's your chance to really make your mark. And they've also talked about how a success here could grow the game in the States, mm-hmm. Which I found interesting.
Well, there's a lot to like about this team. There's a lot to question and wonder about this team. What is your prediction for the Americans? Where do they end up?
Well, I think like Canada, the schedule makers have been kind to them. And I think I have Team Europe and the Czechs ranked 7 and 8, the bottom two. So I think, you know, if they don't cruise through this round robin like Canada, I think it'll be a major disappointment. And I think Gary Bettman will probably smack his forehead. I think it's set up for them to at least make it to the semis. And at that point, I think it's a one-game elimination. So So it could be anyone's game. If they get the Swedes, I think they lose. I would pick Sweden ahead of them. But as we saw last night, they can beat Finland. As we saw in Sochi, they can beat Russia. And I think Russians' defense is even thinner than the Americans. And I think their goaltending's thinner. So I think they could end up in the gold medal game against Canada or against the Sweden. I think it depends who they draw in the semis. But if they don't make it to the semis, I think it'll be a massive disappointment. And we're going to see a lot of criticism directed towards Lombardi and Tortorella for how they constructed this team.
Well, certainly a lot to keep us glued to Team USA. As Luke said, they're not shy about waving the pom-poms and flying the flag. That was certainly the case in 96 when they won. We'll see what happens this time. Luke will be following Team USA throughout the tournament, so look for his stuff on sportsnet.ca. Luke, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for the time. Enjoy the games.
That is Sportsnet's Luke Fox. Coming up next, you heard Chris's predictions, you heard Luke's predictions. Rory and I are going to tell you what we think of World Cup 2016 when Tape to Tape returns.
Don't look now, don't heed the warning, it's really of no concern. Don't hear the sound, only just vomit, anything left to burn. Isn't it about time? Isn't it about time we learn? Isn't it about time? Isn't it about time we learn?
Welcome back to Tape to Tape. Usually we got to wait till like early October to start making hockey predictions. Here we are, not even halfway through September. Love it. It's already time to tell you who we think is going to win something. So, Rory, let's start with we'll go with your straight ahead take. Who do you see in the final of this tournament?
So I'm going straight chalk with one pick. I'm going with Canada to win it all. I don't see a way they don't come out of Group A in one or two. I don't see a way Canada and USA don't come out of that group.
Yeah, Luke alluded to it. There's clearly
that was
a design
nicely
for
set up.
Nice fluffy pillow there.
And, you know, there's just something about playing in North America on the North American ice. I really like Canada and the U.S. in those situations. And Canada is the superior team, clearly, to the U.S. So I'm picking Canada to win it all. Now, you could still pick the U.S. to lose to them in the final, but I'm not going to go that route. And this is not my bold prediction. This is my straight prediction. I like Team North America to make it that far. I really think that they're going to be a tough team to handle. And I'm, you know, it's early. We've seen very little bit from them in pre-tournament, but I'm buying in. I'm buying into Team North America.
Yeah, I think to some degree, if I didn't pick Canada, it would just be because I was thinking, well, what are the odds they're going to win it again after 2010, 2014? And the other thing, too, is we talk about a favorite and so well set up. It's such a narrow margin in these tournaments. I mean, even with the cushy group alignment, I mean, you still go bang bang and play two games right out of the hop, and if you're just a little fuzzy in those games, all of a sudden you could be looking at, oh my god, we got to win a game just to get into the semifinal. You know, as Chris mentioned, no quarterfinal here to kind of, you know, get it together and find the back door in. But
We always talk about too, sorry to interrupt, the you know, analytics and how you can build a team to be sustainable, but once you get to the playoffs, it's kind of out the window because there's a lot of chance there in the playoffs. And those playoffs, we're talking about best of seven game series. This is single
still
elimination.
Talking about 2 weeks, not one night.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'll take Canada, and I'll go with the Sochi rematch of Canada over Sweden. I mean, I just feel like the Swedes are just such a cohesive unit. They show up just ready to go and just never going to beat themselves. So I'll go with that as my, if I had to put a nickel down bet. But good segue to the more out there bold predictions. One thing I'll be keeping an eye on, I'm following Team Russia throughout the tournament. I was at the World Championship in Moscow a few months back in May. I mean, we're all down on the Russians a little at this point. They really crapped out in Sochi. The blue line really doesn't look very good. But you know what?
Yeah.
Kuznetsov, Kucherov, Ovechkin, Tarasenko, Datsyuk. And you know what? Varlamov, Bobrovsky, guys that have carried NHL teams for stretches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying maybe they find a way to score their way into the final. And I actually think it would be, people would kind of be sort of tickled to see the Russians back in the final.
Sure.
And imagine a big Canada-Russia final. I think that would be really, really cool. So I'll go the opposite way of everyone else right now and say maybe Russia's going to have a great tournament.
We need to rekindle that rivalry, Canada and Russia. It's Canada and the U.S. is the big rivalry
right
for
now,
Canada
yeah.
right now. We need to get back to that classic matchup. It's funny because we're talking about North America, and I like Team North America, and they're very exciting because of their offense and their speed and their kids. Russia's got that with veteran, grown
totally.
Men.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
with guys who led the NHL in scoring,
Yeah, for sure. My bold prediction, I really think Finland got such a crap draw to have to go up against North America, Russia, and Sweden in that pool. I mean, there's going to be two teams that don't make it out of that pool that are pretty freaking good, right? Like, there's a lot of talent here, but the Finns are feisty. I think the closest to a Team Canada in how they can really be physical with you, really kind of come at you with everything, with any kind of game that you want to play. My bold prediction is that Finland comes out of Group B and gets to that final. I have a hard time picking them over Canada, but my bold prediction is they make it. I would like them more if they went with Tuukka Rask as their number one instead of Pekka Rinne. Not a huge deal. Pekka Rinne is a really good goalie. I like Tuukka Rask a lot more, so that would make me feel more comfortable. But I just think Finland they're always kind of in the background, hanging around. No one ever likes to pick Finland, but they have good results. They're a tough team to play against.
They're having a moment right now. World Juniors under 18. I mean, you know, Puljujärvi and Laine at one point looking like 2-3. Of course, Puljujärvi fell at the draft. But yeah, producing some real good young players. Winning some big tournaments.
Laine was the
levels.
MVP at the World Championships.
The MVP.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. He was
a
killer.
You know, U.S. was built to play a certain way and to play against Canada in a certain way, very physical. Finland always plays like that. That's what Finland does. So I think they could surprise.
It would have seemed like a bold prediction maybe a month ago to say people would be so amped for this tournament before it even officially started, but man, that's just pure fact at this point.
Yeah.
Everyone is so cranked up. It's been great to see.
How excited are you to follow the Russians?
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I mean, it's always cool when you're at an event and kind of engrossed in it for the 2 weeks or however long it is when things are clipping along. And yeah, as I said, there's a lot of intrigue around that team because of their, you know, the status they once held as a complete heavyweight, and now they slipped a little, so I'll definitely be looking to see if they can get their footing back. And yeah, just hey man, you take the best players on earth and put them in a tournament, turns out that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So
hey, last chance for North American audience to see Pavel Datsyuk up close.
That's
too, right?
Absolutely. Good old Pav. Well, just one of the many reasons to tune into the World Cup, and of course you should always be tuning in to Tape to Tape. You can catch us weekly. Check us out at sportsnet.ca. Subscribe on iTunes. We will be dropping back in probably about halfway through the round robin sometime next week, probably when the teams have two of their three games completed. We'll take the temperature then and let you know what's happening. Until that point, I'm Ryan Dixon. He's Rory Boylan. Come back next time for more Glass Rattlin' Hockey action on Tape to Tape.
This has been Tape to Tape, the hockey podcast by Sportsnet.